Because once we get going here.
All right, welcome back to the House Money Sports Podcast, another episode. You got me, Wolfman Jay. You got the Sharkhead across from me, Buckwheat, the man from Tennessee.
Deep South.
The Deep South. Deep South. Probably likes Crawdaddies or something like that.
Crawdads.
We're here to put a bow and wrap up the second round. The conference finals are set in the NBA. So we're here to recap that and talk about what's going to happen. Sunday is the first game of the conference finals. I think Eastern Conference Finals, at least. When's the West?
Monday.
Western Conference starts Monday. That's probably the best, the one that everybody's looking forward to.
Rockets, Warriors.
Then we're gonna talk a little fantasy baseball. We'll talk a little. We'll talk a little Yankees and what they're doing. We'll talk Dylan Bundy giving up 4 home runs.
Gotta give up on that guy now, man.
Don't it might
let
be
that one go, man.
It might be time when you're giving up 4 home runs to the Kansas City Royals.
No outs.
Yeah, before we recorded an out. Yeah, is that a record?
That's something, man.
It should be. Well, if it's to Jorge Soler was batting second in that lineup. So, but actually, he's hitting .308 this year. But we could talk about
Soler's
that.
Soler's doing great, man. He's starting to.
I know he's.
Is he the late bloomer right now?
He might be the late bloomer. He's probably hitting better than any Cubs outfielder right now. But
that's probably definitely true. He's definitely.
There's some guys I'd like to have back and give a shot. Like see what they would do. He's not at the top of the list, but he's somewhere towards the middle, maybe.
Well,
but
yeah,
you
can't do that with baseball. There's a lot of dudes you had to give up to get, and there's a lot of moving parts. I know you can talk Gleyber Torres if you want
to. Well, I mean, I would throw Gleyber in there. You want to just go to the straight to the baseball?
No.
All right, we're just gonna keep it real.
Keep it real, man.
All right. So let's
talk about this. Let's talk about these basketball games here, man. Went pretty much as planned. We said if there was one team that was going to put up any kind of fight, it was going to be Philly. They got their one game.
They did get their one win.
But then they went away. So, you basically called that one out. And, now here we are. I mean, you probably could have called out Cleveland. You probably could have called out the Warriors.
Well, yeah.
You probably could have called out the Rockets.
Cleveland.
You might have called out Boston at the beginning of the year. But it seems like basketball just went as you might have. I mean, you might have predicted it.
Three of the four teams that are in it right now, Cleveland, Houston, Golden State, everybody thought they were going to be here. Yeah, and at the beginning of the year, a lot of people probably would have put Boston in the conference, in the Eastern Conference Finals. But after
the playoffs, I would not have started.
Opening night when Gordon Hayward broke his leg in half and Kyrie Irving went out in like it was like January or something like that. I'm pretty sure it was before the All-Star break when he went down. So yeah, if you would have told me that Boston Celtics would be in the Eastern Conference Finals right now, I would have said no way. But here we are, and I don't know. Now it's time to figure out. They beat Philly. Everybody had Philly going into that series, and now here comes Boston.
I did.
Boston charging out. You had Philly going all the way to the finals, like the finals. So,
I pick favorites in basketball, man. I just don't.
Well, everybody was like after that.
I'm so anti-LeBron. I'm trying to find any team out.
I'm a LeBron stan, dude. I'm a LeBron stan. I'll die on a hill with LeBron as my best player of all time.
All
so.
The teams I like are extremely mediocre, man. I'm a Bulls fan, but you know, not much to say about the playoff wise. Going to the playoffs,
well,
I was pulling for the Wizards and the Bucks, man. You know, and yeah, there's not much there.
Wizards and the Bucks. I like John Wall, but yeah, there's not much there.
That's what I'm saying. I like those players on them teams, but I was rooting for the Pacers, kind of my long shot. That was maybe the one team.
I'm pretty convinced they're the second best team in the East. I think they could have won I think they could have went to the finals if they would have beat the Cavs. And if they would have won game 7, they actually outscored the Cavs by like 40 points in that series.
Did they?
But lost the series.
Yeah.
So they were in every game they lost, and they blew them out a couple times.
Yeah.
So, but
Depot keeps getting better and better by the year, man.
He's
one of my favorite players.
Moving forward, that'll be. Well, he fell off kind of. He kind of was a lot. Like, he made some noise when he first came into the league, then he fell off a little bit. Now he's back. And it looks like he's better than ever. So, and Indy moving forward, man, with Sabonis developing and stuff like that, they're gonna be a squad to watch. And then between them and Philly and Boston, I'll never bet against LeBron in the East, like, until he decides to either go to the West or quit playing basketball. I'll take LeBron.
Boston, no chance this year.
Boston against Cleveland right now, man, it's just so tough. Like, if you look at Boston's team, like, you got Scary Terry, you like Al Horford, like,
that's literally a series of a Cleveland team versus a man. Cleveland, that's a team versus,
well,
a man right there.
Cleveland's been vulnerable for a long time, like all year, and then they like completely revamped their team, and now they got. Now they got Rodney Hood, like, he refused to come in the game the other night.
There's a lot of back things.
So there's, like, that whole thing with that dynamic. And, like, their bench doesn't really score anyway. But you got Minnesota Love back.
Minnesota Love is back.
Out of somewhere.
Ever since you said Minnesota Love.
So, like.
Minnesota Love been strong. Strong love.
Yeah, I mean, there's people, like Skip Bayless said, he's playing as good offensively as he ever has in his career. But Skip Bayless is a notorious LeBron hater. So.
Love's doing all kinds of good stuff. He's looking good defensively, too. He's being an impact player. And he was an impact player when he was with the Wolves. He was a huge player.
I mean, he was like a megastar with the Wolves.
Megastar, man.
You thought that was like the perfect marriage coming over to Cleveland, like the perfect player to play alongside LeBron. I would have thought it would have been Kevin Love. It hasn't really worked out like that, even though they won a championship.
Until about three games ago.
And then, bam, here he is.
Good. Started to look good.
You got Jamar Smith hitting threes. He hits more tough.
J.R. Smith.
Late night. It's House Money Day. Sports after dark.
After dark.
J.R. Smith. Yeah, hitting threes. He hits more tough threes with a hand in his face than anybody I've ever seen. Kyle Korver's hitting threes from all over the place. So actually,
I tell you, between Korver and Smith, those are two solid 3-point shooters that are working for LeBron real well right now, man. They are working as designed.
Well, yeah, they're playing their role. Like, so I think Cleveland has enough pieces, and they have, like, their other guys are just like, they can get a random one a night. Like, those guys can have a random night where they have a good game, and you can get that out of like 3 or 4 dudes. Like, you could put Jordan Clarkson in there, you could put Tristan Thompson in there. Like, one of those guys can step up on any given night and get, not consistently, but they can step up on any given night. But
the one thing you know is LeBron has to show up every day.
Well, yeah, but and that's pretty
crazy. That's pretty crazy.
He's got to step up huge every damn game, but he does. Like, that's just the dude that he is. You know what I mean? Like, that's just what he's been doing. You know, that's what he's done for 15 years. So, yeah, but he's you know that he's got to be there. If LeBron doesn't do it, the Cavs are obviously going to go as far as LeBron takes them.
See, that's something the Warriors got going for them, you know. They could have, like, Kurt could have an off night.
Well, yeah.
Durant could have an off night.
They can spread it around
still
a little
be
bit.
All right, man. Like,
they can spread it around a little bit.
That's the thing, but, I mean, it seems like playoff LeBron is in full...
Yeah, playoff LeBron is in full swing.
He's in full swing,
like,
man.
We're right in the middle of it. Seems like this is like a regular thing every year. Like, this is a reoccurring...
So you go in Cleveland, how many games? Just pre-series, right? Right,
man.
Before the series kicks off.
Well, Boston has home court.
Right,
so
before the series kicks off Sunday at 2:30. Which we'll be getting back to you Sunday night. After that game.
We'll be back after that game. We'll be talking all about how the Cavs went up.
So let's see.
But so I'll take, man.
I know you
put me right on the spot.
I'm right on the spot. That's what we're here
for. I might have to come back after fantasy baseball. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh shoot.
So Boston has home court. Scary Terry's playing well. Jason Tatum's playing out of his mind. He's playing like a real go-to player. Al Horford is like turning back the clock and playing better than he ever has.
Jason Tatum's looking good, but LeBron's coming to town, man.
That's going to be a tough matchup for him. Like, yeah, he doesn't have the strength.
You still think Tatum's going to be guarding LeBron?
Oh, man.
Are you leaning on Horford? Are you
Well, that's your guy.
That's who I think is guarding LeBron.
Man, that would be interesting, and that would be interesting if that does happen. I would be surprised if they put out. But I mean, I mean, obviously, you know, LeBron being 6'8", 6'9", Horford can match him as far as size, but I don't know if he has the ability.
We know he's not as mobile. We know.
I don't know if he has the ability, agility, mobility to.
As you said, though, nobody's going to be on his athletic plane.
Right.
You know,
LeBron's
athletic plane ain't touchable.
So then you got to decide, what do you want? You want strength and size, or do you want a little bit of quickness and size?
Horford might be on Love, but I mean, I just don't.
Horford seems like the matchup for some reason. Like, that seems like it should be like.
That's what you would think, but with
LeBron. Both kind of husky power forwards. They just seem like destined to guard each other for some reason.
You got Cleveland in 5 or 6. What?
Man, so Boston has home court advantage. They're probably going to win one of the first 2 games. They're playing really well. Like, they're clicking.
Right.
They're coming in the way that they need to come in. I'll say Cleveland in 6.
He's almost looking at 7.
I was thinking about 7, but
Cleveland 6 sounds good.
Cleveland in 6. At some point, you just got to believe that Boston is not going to be able to keep this up. And eventually, their lack of a go-to superstar. Like, how long can Terry Rozier, when Drew Bledsoe, keep this going?
But think about this team, is none of this team has really ever been used to playing with each other. When this season started, there's a lot of new people. Horford's
Tatum.
Tatum's a rookie.
Well, Horford was there last year.
Horford was there last year.
But he didn't play with Tatum.
I mean, Kyrie
Isaiah Thomas was the guy. You know what I mean? So it's a completely different team. And they're both, and Brad Stevens has him back in the finals again with a completely different nucleus of a team. And how big is his dick if he gets them to the finals? If he takes this team to the finals without, and there's like some rumors that Kyrie and Hayward are like, might be thinking about doing something like coming back or whatever.
Whoa.
So,
I don't even
for
know.
This
I don't even
series,
know.
But why
even
would
know.
You even want that? Like, Hayward hasn't played in. Yeah. That would break up the chemistry they have going right now. Yep. I would just keep it going. Like,
I don't think you throw Hayward in there. No chance. I mean,
no
I,
chance
I
of
know.
Hayward. Maybe Kyrie.
Kyrie's only about a month gone from playing, maybe.
So, yeah, that might be something you might want to think about. But you're messing with the whole mojo right now.
You are messing with the whole mojo. So, I mean, I think we're both in agreement.
We got 6.
I'll be taking Cleveland and 6 in this one. That's. It's hard to see anything else, but hard to root against Boston, but
yeah, Cleveland
LeBron James.
Cleveland shit all over Toronto, too. They're coming in just as hot as, hotter than Boston, probably. And they're starting to click, too, because that's a team that hasn't played together a lot, either. So,
Boston.
I think they're finding their identity a little bit outside of LeBron.
We can both agree that Boston,
we can both be whatever
Cleveland
we want,
right
bro.
Here would be pretty.
That'd Boston beating Cleveland would be pretty epic. And
pretty
Brad
epic.
Stevens, like, I think if he's not That's already it. The best coach in the NBA,
solidify
at this point,
right
he would solidify that. Yeah, easy.
And I agree. I think we're in agreement on that one.
Yeah, let's Golden talk, State, let's swing
Golden
it
State,
over.
Houston. Let's swing that to Golden State Houston right here.
Swing it over.
That's going to be the more.
Well, let's talk about Golden State beat the shit out of the Pelicans. Utah didn't get me to 6 games like I said they would. So,
I never.
Donovan Mitchell had a hell of a game last night, though. That dude is.
Next year, Utah is going to be a team. Man.
Well, yeah. And
next year.
That dude is for real. Like, he's legit. He's the real deal. So, it'll be interesting to see what they do moving forward. I mean, he went closeout game in Houston and went shot for shot with Chris Paul, who had an unbelievable game. Like, that stretch that Chris Paul had at the end of that game last night, when the game was on the line. And in the balance, he scored like 12 points in a row. Like, he completely took over with like 2 minutes left. First time he's in the conference finals after he's had all those good years with LA and in New Orleans. So it's good to see for CP3. I was never a CP3 fan just because of the whole Darren Williams thing.
Yeah,
but,
I understand that.
You know what I mean? So
Chris
now,
Paul had 41 points last night.
Dude, he, like, with 3 minutes left, he just completely just said, fuck you, Utah. and I'm taking over. Like, he hit a three. He banked in a three. He hit a runner. He scored. I think he went on a personal 12-0 run. At
bro, 8-10 from the three-point line. I mean.
8-10?
8-10 from the three-point
line. Yeah, so, yeah, he was getting after it. He wanted to just, he didn't want, he wasn't messing around. He wasn't trying to go back to Salt Lake City because there ain't shit to do in Salt Lake City. Might as well end it in Houston and get ready for the Warriors. Plus, he didn't want the Warriors sitting around getting rest either. So
James Harden just kind of chilled right there. That's what I mean. Like, James Harden didn't even have to really show up and be James Harden for that team to win. Like,
no.
That's the one thing that Cleveland is, right? Cleveland is LeBron James, right? These other teams have a lot of pieces that can kind of step up.
They definitely
and come
more
at
pieces,
you, right? Yeah, yeah, more pieces. Now maybe LeBron has this well-rounded team that's perfect for him, but it's like, man, it's impressive what LeBron does. You know, he just really does take a team on his shoulders. And
I don't like the Warriors because I feel like it sounds like the cheat code.
Cheat.
Like,
they just rounded up all, yeah.
You have, yeah, I mean.
Turned off the
you know, it's like
from stopping trades and just moved everybody around. Like, ah, no, that's a good trade.
Yep.
We're not going to cut that one off.
Yep, yeah. they turn it up. Yep, you can just make any trade you want. But, yeah, KD, like, if KD's not, like, they have 3-4 guys that can step up and take over a game. And, I mean, watching Houston last night, I don't think there's any, like, they're a good team, but I don't think that they're on Golden State's level. When Golden State decides to quit fucking around and actually, like, when they're done with the BS, and they just decide to win, and then they throw their death lineup at you. It's tough. It's tough to beat. So, if anybody has a chance, though, in the West, it's obviously Houston. And that's the matchup everybody wanted to see.
How many three-pointers are going to happen in that series?
A lot.
Between Chris Paul, James Harden,
yeah.
Curry, Klay Thompson.
Trevor Ariza,
Draymond Green, Kevin yeah. Durant. How many three-pointers are going down in that series?
It's
going
to be a lot. It's going to be raining threes from deep.
Oh, yeah.
Raindrop threes.
Man, it's hard to go against Golden State, like you said. Looks like they got a cheat code, but I gotta believe that James Harden is the X factor there, in my opinion.
That's the thing. He's got to have a huge series. He's got to completely go off. He can offset maybe one or two of those Warriors. But then, like, so he's got to go off, and then he's got to have, like, Chris Paul step up, have a big series. He's got to, Eric Gordon's got to step up, have a big series. Their big guy.
Clint Capella.
Capella's got to have a big series. They got some weapons. They got some pieces.
They got Nene, too.
They got Nene, but he didn't really play a lot in that Utah series. Yeah. So they might bring him back for this, but.
11 minutes in that last game.
Yeah.
Which that says something, they're up 3-1.
Yeah, yeah.
You think?
Closeout game, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
And they also got Eric Gordon, forgot about him. He'll probably be chucking some threes if they need. I mean, doesn't look like they should be able to match up with Golden State at this point. Curry looks pretty healthy.
But it'll be fun. It'll definitely be a fun series because you have Harden. You know, you got a lot of superstar power in that series.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just Harden, Paul. Versus
a lot of star power, man.
Durant,
a lot of star power
Curry,
in the finals outside of Boston. And that's Kyrie, you know.
Kyrie.
We'll see what happens.
So it looks like we'll probably have another Cleveland Golden State. What's this looking like, huh?
Four in a row.
Is that going to get boring or does that make it more exciting? I think that's more exciting in the
league. Actually, I like it. I like the whole rivalry set up. Technical difficulties.
Nah. You like it. You like that juggernaut.
Well,
someone's got to dethrone these Giants that keep going back to back, right?
Like, yeah, like, I think, yeah.
It really raises the bar. These teams can't, I mean,
this is a rivalry. Well, are you saying, like, the Cleveland Golden State, like, is it going to be better? I think in the long run, like, we'll look back on it. We're going to be like, yeah, I remember when Golden State and Cleveland, like, that was the rivalry. Especially if Cleveland wins this year. We're getting way ahead of ourselves. But if Cleveland were to tie the little series up 2-2, because it's 1-2 right now.
Yep.
If Cleveland were to tie that up, then it would get, you know, really interesting. Then the debate would be, you know, was LeBron better than So
no one's talking about any team but Cleveland and Golden State all year, just waiting for them to meet again.
Just waiting for them to meet again in the championship. But then, but actually this year there was actually some talk about Boston, especially when they got Hayward and Kyrie.
Oh yeah.
So that really,
that's what I said, preseason, these are the four teams you probably would have lined up to be exactly where they are. Like, that's what I mean. These teams are being put on a next level. Like, these teams are in a next level. They're in a next group, right? Like, you talk fantasy sports or whatever, you know, and you look at drafts, there's like this tier one, right? You got this top tier of these dudes. Like, that's where these teams are at in the NBA. You have like four or five teams in this top tier, and then there's like everybody else kind of playing in that. Maybe they'll be in that top tier thing. And you got a couple teams flirting with it, like Milwaukee's, you know, that seems like they got maybe like four or five guys, but they got four or five mediocre guys. These top tier teams got three to four studs, like guys that, and any other team is the number one go-to guy, you know, Durant on any other team is the number one guy, Curry on any other team is the go-to guy, you know.
Clay? Killer Clay?
I could go to Clay on that one, but I mean, Clay's going to be...
Clay will just like, he's like the secret assassin. Like,
he kind of is,
as soon as
man.
You forget about him, he'll drop like 30 in a quarter.
Fucking out of six nowhere. Three-pointers.
Yeah, he'll just line up his ugly ass. I don't know if you're gonna... like, one-tenth of a second. Like, he touches the ball, and it's gone. And, like, if you're the defender, you're like, you know what I mean? You haven't even registered the fact that he caught the ball and it's already gone, probably through the net.
But you don't see Clay leading a team, right? You're not going to call Clay Thompson the best player. Well, he's going to be a guy that could compliment that guy, right?
He's a perfect complimentary guy.
He's a perfect
complimentary guy. But I don't think we know if he can lead a team.
We don't. I don't think he'd be able to. I think he is a complimentary kind of role player, man.
I think he's a complimentary.
I think you take away the studs around him and they focus on him.
He's on the perfect team, too, for him.
I mean, he's got playmaking abilities, but that's not his strength, right? He's not a guy you're going to give the ball to try to get a last-second shot. You know, he's a guy that you can kind of hit for an old, you know, he'll make a good cut, or you know, you can hit him open hood a shot. He's that
perfect
kind of guy.
System, purpose he's, for that system.
He is. He's a good fundamental system player, so, I mean.
Especially that one.
But these teams are juggernaut teams. I mean, be interested to see what happens. Well, I mean, we got game one coming up on Sunday at 2:30. We'll be back to you to talk to you about that. Let's talk some baseball a little bit here before we close off this session. Got a couple things going on the baseball front. First thing is, just get rid of Dylan Bundy. That's all I got to say about that. Just
Cleveland rocks.
Let Dylan Bundy go of all circles, whether you're on Baltimore, whether you own him in a fantasy circle, whether he's your brother.
Dylan Bundy.
No,
I just want to talk about Dylan Bundy.
You gotta let Dylan Bundy go.
I want to talk about
Dylan. Sometimes you gotta cut a man loose. You gotta cut a man free, man.
Well, I knew that 2 years ago, but that's what I want to talk about. I drafted him in my minor league draft, like right when he was like the top prospect in baseball.
Oh, you had Dylan Bundy and Matt Harvey back in them days.
And I sat on him for like 3 years in the minor leagues, and then he blew his arm out. And then I was like, shit. And then, like, he came up and he was in the bullpen for a while, and I was just like, eventually, yeah, I had to cut bait. But, so I got history with Dylan Bundy. So, you know, seeing it progress the way it has, I'm not surprised. Four home runs to the Royals. I don't even know who hit it. Soler hit one.
I keep coming across these guys that, like...
Moustakas hit one.
I keep coming across these guys.
Oh, John Jay?
Who seem to have faith in Dylan Bundy for some reason. And I'm not... You get that. Sometimes these guys are able to hang in these circles. And
well,
I don't know why Dylan Bundy is one of them. I mean,
well, he was
everybody
a huge,
thinks this is
huge,
about to be that year.
He was a big prospect. I think he started opening day. Baltimore's trying to force it, man, and you can't force it. If it doesn't fit, you just got to back off every once in a while. Or you could force it. Either one.
Forcing it never seems to get it done, though.
But, yeah. But...
You do got to take time on these guys, man, but he's had enough time. That's why cut him loose. Ball
well, court, now man. I think you were like, okay, let's just put him in the ace. Let's give him that, you know, let's give him that prestige. Let's see how he responds, and he responds by getting fucking shelled. John Jay takes you deep. John Jay, Soler, who, and then, like, yeah, the top of that Royal. Salvador Perez get one in there. He's back. He hates Tim Anderson. He probably cussed... He probably thought about how much he hates Tim Anderson before Dylan Bundy threw him a fastball.
Do you think Dylan Bundy's in a place where there's no coming back from?
And getting good again? Man, I don't know, dude. I mean...
I mean, we've thought that for a long time, but he's still in the system. Like you said, they started him opening day.
They did start him opening day. They want him to be good. They gave him a chance. Maybe they thought they weren't going to compete this year, so fuck it. Let's throw Bundy. Let's make Bundy our ace because he was supposed to be 5 years ago. That's the guy we picked. Let's see if he's that guy. Obviously, he's not that guy right now, and I don't know.
Do you want to know how much he's not that guy? Let's go back to the first inning. George Soler homered 408 feet to
Georgie.
Center.
He's got that kind of swing, though. He's got that kind of pop. Jorge Soler is one of the biggest disappointments for me as a baseball fan, but that's
a story for another. Well, just a little Cub fan mix in there that kind of also adds a little salt.
Man, when he came up, I thought he was going to be like one of the top 10 players of all time.
Just a Johnny
first
Tucker
month.
In beast mode. He always had the pop.
His swing.
Contact,
he had the best, the fastest, the most compact, quick swing combined with a good eye from a young player I've ever seen. But anyway, who else you got?
Let's follow.
And then
Mike
he just
Moustakas homered 360 feet to deep right.
Well, you forgot John Jay, right? John Jay. Oh,
we're in the first inning.
Yeah, but Jorge didn't lead off.
Soler, Moustakas, Salvador Perez, and Alex Gordon all
homered
in the first
inning. Oh, okay. So what? John Jay must have let off with a base hit then. And he gave up four home runs before an out was recorded. So it wasn't the first four batters. But,
no.
But Georgie got him.
Oh, that would have been a different stat, my friend. Start off a game with four home runs, back-to-back-to-back-to-back. I don't know if that's ever been done. I mean, now that would have been a whole different kind of thing. But take it easy on Dylan Bundy. We're not happy with him. We want him gone. But it's just four home runs.
If you have
not four opening back-to-back-to-back-to-back. He was able to allow a couple singles in there. Really save some face. I mean, let a man be what he is.
Yeah.
He's doing enough to bring himself down. Let's not just hammer down on him anymore.
Drop that.
Cut that guy. New York Yankees are hot. Did anybody not see that coming, though? No.
I didn't. I thought the Yankees were overrated, like, coming into the year. Because
you thought that lack of pitching staff or what?
A lack of pitching.
You knew the offense. I mean, come on.
Not really, though, because I was looking at, like, Judge and Stanton hitting
240?
Well, hitting second, like right next to each other. Are they still next to each other in the lineup? Because Judge was hitting second, Stanton was hitting third.
They've had them next to each other. I've seen them mixed up.
I thought that was going to be a bad combo. I mean, because
I've seen them put Judge in the two. I've seen them put Gary Sanchez in the three, Stanton in the four. I've seen them kind of swap all
the
guys around.
So they kind of mix those guys around.
Today, I think it was Judge three, Stanton four, Sanchez five. I've seen a couple different lineups there. But they're throwing, I think, Brett Gardner in the leadoff, Didi Gregorius in the two hole. I saw this coming. That offense is too big.
I just thought they were going to strike out too much batting next to each other in big spots where they would lose some games. And I thought they'd be overrated, but man.
I think it came down to their pitching staff. And, you know, they...
I mean, is their bullpen lights out? What is, like...
You don't know their bullpen.
To win...
You don't know their bullpen is what you're telling me.
No, I do, but I'm just saying, has it been lights out?
I mean, Chapman's in there. I mean,
Chapman's in there.
He threw 103 mile an hour pitch. It hit some poor chap right in the rib cage.
Yeah, Judge hit 117 mile an hour home run today. Really? So it went Judge, Gregorius, Stanton, Sanchez. So they are breaking that up a little bit with throwing Gregorius.
Wait, what
in
was
it? So Judge in the two hole.
So Gregorius was in the.
Okay. Wow, Judge's OPS is 1.008. Who's got the second OPS on the Yankees right now?
Didi Gregorius.
Diddy.
Is it? What
Chubb's
is that?
Diddy.
Is that Diddy?
P. Diddy?
Is it Diddy?
Diddy.
Diddy.
It's Diddy Gregorius. Yep. It's spelled like D-I-D-I, so.
You never can tell.
But yeah, you got Gary Sanchez. Gary Sanchez isn't even hitting very well.
Kinda. His batting average is down, but his situational hitting has been up. He's probably got about 8.
I mean, but you got Andujar. You got the excitement at Gleyber coming up.
I think Gary Sanchez probably got 30 home runs by now, man. Or 30 RBIs by now, I mean, so he's not hitting good, but he's producing, if you will. Damn, Stan had another two home run.
Game today, man. He's got 29 RBIs.
That's what I was saying. Anyone's at 30 RBIs. So what's his average? 220-some?
205. Don't worry about that. Go look at Fangraphs. Look at Fangraphs if you want to know how good Gary Sanchez is doing.
Well, he's just producing. 29 RBIs, he's producing.
I mean,
now
Stanton.
He's got the guys in front of him.
Stanton, yeah. So, yeah, the Yankees, I mean.
This guy's always leaning on his Fangraphs here, man. I just like to look at the numbers, man.
If you want to look at the numbers, go to Fangraphs is where it's at. Get deep.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Fangraphs has a lot of numbers there, but don't rely on any kind of number system. Just look at that total picture.
So, yeah, the Yankees did sweep the Red Sox.
Yep, Yankees, what did you say, 17 out of 18? Just, yep.
I think it might be.
17 out of 18.
Is it 17 out of 18?
Yep, sure is.
They're just dominating, dude. I mean, they have Sonny Gray. You
Yankees
know,
and Boston will run away with that division.
Jordan Montgomery, my guy.
DL.
When did he go?
He went 2 days ago.
Damn it.
Your guy, you ain't been keeping
boy,
in touch
dude.
With your guy, have you?
Why you calling me out?
Well, he's on my team. He's on my team as well. I like Jordan Montgomery. You know, they were talking Sonny Gray as being the kind of guy that was going to break out in New York. You know, Luis Severino was always going to be the number one, but they were talking maybe Sonny Gray might put it together this year. But I was always kind of looking at Montgomery. I mean, small sample size last year, but I liked everything I saw. Actually, I had a lot of faith in that guy. But yeah, he's on the DL. Not exactly sure what the deal is on him. But that Yankees team's going to be tough. One, it's the Yankees. That lineup's just going to be intimidating, man.
I thought, but yeah, I didn't know. And then I thought they're all right-handed. Like,
Didi Gregorius was the most productive guy in baseball for like the first month. Like,
he's a beast.
When you can say a name that isn't Judge, Stanton, or Sanchez as the number one
Brett Gardner
in baseball.
How good has Brett Gardner been this year?
Brett Gardner's doing great this year. Like I said, he's going to score.
He's a bleacher bum.
Just about half down.
He, I'm happy to say, is a bleacher bum. That was a huge pick. That was a huge pick.
Sure was.
But actually, I take that back. Brett Gardner isn't doing shit.
No?
No. Definitely not. Well.
He started hot and then he tailored off, did he?
Yo, yeah.
I told you, he's like an uninteresting guy to own in baseball league, so I'm going to mess around with him on the fantasy baseball front.
What else we got? Who else we
not
got?
Not really my style. Who else you got on what?
Cubs, Marlins came at a perfect time. That was the perfect time for the Cubs, for the Marlins to come to town. Cubs got a sweep in today.
Yeah.
So.
I almost got sick.
Everything's right again with that.
I don't know if everything's right with that. I mean, you can't.
Well, it got right. It got right. They're a game out.
It
fourth
feels
place.
Better. It feels better.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll sleep better. I'll sleep a little better.
I almost got single-handedly taken down by two Minnesota players in fantasy league this past week. Eddie Rosario and Eduardo Escobar each had 3 doubles and 3 home runs. Like,
so who's hot? Eddie or Rosario?
Eddie Rosario and Eduardo Escobar from Minnesota. Like,
just
Minnesota's
no
just got these guys stepping up this year. I mean, you thought Buxton was going to be the guy, but
dude.
Another guy. Please let that guy go. Give that guy
give
up.
It up?
Oh,
like,
yeah. Dylan Bundy,
stop hanging on.
Dylan Bundy, Byron
Buxton, you're on the.
This is going to be your weekly cut a man loose and send him
to the Titanic. Give me the Titanic music right now.
They're shark bait. Like, you got to get rid of these guys.
So you're saying if they're in the freezing cold water and you're just saying let them go.
Yeah.
And you're on the door, waiting on the door. Wait for that lifeboat.
We'll try to throw a cut him loose.
Let Byron Buxton go.
Oh, man. I've put my stock in Byron Buxton, and I've lived to regret it.
For a long time.
And I've lived to regret it. And
he was the number one prospect.
Just let him go, guys.
Byron Buxton.
Him on a raft. And just...
No. You stay on the door.
No.
You wait for that lifeboat.
No.
And you let Byron Buxton go.
This music is to make sure that I will never...
He was the number one prospect in baseball for like 5 years in a row. How does that even happen? You feel like the number one prospect, like if he's not there yet by year 3, he's probably not going to get there.
Maybe. Sometimes it's always like maybe one more year, but I'm giving you, permission to let these guys go. Like, we're past that point on these two guys.
Like, I thought you were going to, like, backtrack. Like, throw, like, a split, like, take a half step back.
A lot of guys, like, you almost need that extra year. Like, they'll just, like, figure it out at some point.
But Byron Buxton is past that point.
He's past that point, man. Something's just...
What about Addison Russell? Is he past that point? He had a good day today.
I mean, I would throw Addison Russell in that same group, but I wouldn't at this table just out of respect for Jack over there.
I mean...
I'm just a regular old Diane. But, God
dang it.
I don't know. Addison Russell looks pretty rough. If you want to bring his name up, I wouldn't choose to do so.
I don't think he's at Byron Buxton level.
Oh, no. No.
I don't think he's at Byron Buxton level, never going to get there, but no. I think he's
approaching that quickly. He is also a very stellar outfielder. As far as center fielders are concerned, Buxton is. They say he's considered like a top three center fielder in baseball.
Yeah,
he's got a great read. He's got a great read on the ball. That stuff. They say he's a great center fielder, but...
Sometimes defensive run saved is worth its weight. Like some people.
I don't buy that.
That's the whole thing with the Cubs, man. Like they're so big about defensive run saved, and then they run, you know, half out to center, and I don't know, and they don't play Almora, but whatever.
See, those are guys. Those guys are. I don't know. I feel like the Cubs are looking too much at numbers, and they've taken like just players and looking at teams and chemistry.
Who's on the all Byron?
They've taken. Chemistry, I believe, almost out of baseball, man. They're taking just chemistry out and just...
Cubs are Johnny Metrics.
I don't know what they're doing. Well, I got to bring up a lineup when Wilson Contreras is followed by Kyle Schwarber to lead a game off. Even though you stated to me they both got leadoff singles, like, fine. But 6 out of 7 games, that's not going to do you much good in the 1 and 2 spots leading a game off. I'm just
going to
call that out.
There's rumblings that Schwarber's going back to the top. I don't care, man. I really don't even care who leads off and all that shit. Like,
you don't care. I don't care about the lineup as much as
I mean, it's whatever, dude. Like it doesn't change anything. You bat lead off once a game.
But that's why I'm saying
chemistry. You bat first once a game.
Chemistry, though, man. Chemistry is what I'm saying. That's what matters in a lineup. Like, man, I can even tell you when I play. Like, there's certain guys.
Are you giving me the? Are you okay? Go ahead.
When I play baseball. If I batted behind or a guy, you know, that I was good with, you know, if he batted before behind me, like, I felt like I hit better, like, having, like, a dude that I had chemistry with, you know, batting around me, right? Like, there's a chemistry to, like, batting in sync. Like, you know, my boy Jay Schaaf, like, when me and him bat back-to-back, like, when I'm in the on deck.
Talking beer league softball.
Well, I'm just saying there's chemistry between players. It exists in every sport, like.
At every level.
And I think you got to take that into consideration. And I
you're giving the,
just throwing crazy
you're
metrics
the
around there. And what am I giving you?
You're giving me the, listen, I'm going to compare, we're on the same level. I know, I'm going to get in their head. And tell you what they're thinking.
I'm just going to tell you chemistry matters in baseball. I think it always has, man. And I think they've gotten away from it. I think they look at just numbers, bare raw numbers, way too much, man. Way too much. Like, there's so much importance in those numbers. And I'll be the first guy to tell you that those numbers have weight. But I think those numbers don't erase other things, man. And I think that's one of the things that baseball's fallen victim to. Those numbers are erasing factors. That you can't put on a number, you know. You can't put a number on. You can't put a value on. So I mean, we'll see. But
who's on the all Byron Buxton team?
You want some more guys in that list? I mean, I don't know if those three guys really stood out. But
who's another one that's on the all Byron Buxton team? That
I like to talk more about guys that are tearing it up that most people don't know about. Those are my favorite.
Who is it? Who?
I could bring up Jose Ramirez again. I've been having my eye on this guy, and I feel like he's got to start.
Bregman?
He's got to start getting his... Bregman's not doing so hot so far, but I have a lot of faith in that guy. In the long term, that dude's going to be huge.
I'm going to give you another Buxton before the show's over.
Matt Adams showed up, and he's hitting the cover fucking off the ball.
So
I think Zimmerman went on the DL.
He's your guy under the radar?
He's not really under the radar, but I think he's got a lot of big at-bats coming up as long as Zimmerman's still on the DL.
Let's see who else is fine.
Odubel Herrera is looking great. They're saying he might be a dude that stands out among
Mets? All those
Philadelphia Phillies. Odubel Herrera, outfielder.
I was thinking it's Drew Cabrera.
Yeah, playing shortstop.
Yeah, oh yeah, dude.
There's
Herrera's a lot of always that guy. He's always seems like
well, he never gets that. He never gets a lot of the talk, but he's been pretty consistent in Philly, and he could actually be a dude that kind of stands out if they could keep playing good ball.
All right, well, let's see. For our little mini show, we should probably wrap it up. Let's go ahead and talk about what we're going to talk about on Sunday when we got Grizzly D back in the house. We're going to go with we're going to talk a little NBA playoffs. Obviously, that's been a pretty big theme on our show because we're right in the middle of the NBA playoffs kicking this thing off.
We'll be carrying you through the playoffs as we go here.
And then we're going to probably talk a little bit. We talked a little bit last Sunday about what makes a franchise hockey team, how they pick that, especially when they're the only expansion franchise that comes into that year. And we're going to talk about, like, are they making history? Has there ever been another expansion team this good in their inaugural season? They're in the conference finals in the NHL. So has anybody else ever even come close to that? Nothing comes to my mind right now. So we'll definitely talk about that. And I'm sure we're going to have a couple more for you. Rizzo got over the Doza today, I believe. So
Grizzly D called that one.
Well, Grizzly D got closest. Yeah. That Grizzly D definitely won.
This is Price is Right, bro.
He's
the winner.
Yep.
Don't be trying to act like me and you.
Wait a minute. We're all over.
Well, you know, Bob Barker always gives a win.
So wait, is it who gets closer even though everybody's over, or do you just go ahead and guess? No, you just guess again.
Nobody fucking bet $1, I guess.
Exactly. So we got that coming up. We'll probably have a couple more things for us. So tune in then. But yep, that's our show for tonight. So hopefully you enjoyed it, and we'll be back with you. We out.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.